My friends, nearly everything around you is going to change within this generation.
Biggest fear in 10 years, not having a job.
Should I go to med school or like nursing school?
You've got to find what you love.
Oh no, the future is here.
My advice to you is to do what your parents did.
Need to get a jobby job.
I want to explore the world and I want to use my craft to do so.
If you haven't found it yet, keep looking and don't settle.
On a day like today, who could be excused for wanting a change of scenery? How about a change of careers? That's our mission here at the month-long Takeaway Job Fair. And come with me, whether you're just starting out or contemplating a change, as we leave the office-based, clean-cut professions and hike on over at our job fair to a booth right out here in the mud. I guess the idea here was to give me a sense of what this job choice would really feel like. Pretty realistic, guys. Realistic smell, too. Jesse Hirsch is here, manning an exhibit for people interested in agriculture as a career. Hey, Jesse, are you going to give me a taste of this farming thing?
I'm going to do my best.
All right. So what's your connection to farming? Are you a farmer? You have a nice set of overalls there, but I don't know if you're an actual farmer.
No, I'm just playing the part today. I am senior editor at Modern Farmer Magazine, which is an agricultural publication targeted towards farmers and non-farmers alike.
And you actually ventured out to investigate the possibility of making a transition to farming in your adult life, but it also might apply to young people as well.
Yes, absolutely. This summer, I went to spend a week working on a small CSA farm in upstate New York to kind of get a sense. A lot of our readers are the types of people who are working day jobs and have dreams about running away to the country to see how difficult is it to be a small-scale farmer.
And was it difficult?
From my perspective, it was quite difficult. I mean, when you are sitting at a desk job and you're writing all the time and you're editing, you just don't really have the muscles that it takes to go out there and day after day work 10 to 12 hour days, kneeling in the mud, lifting rocks. That said, it was one of the best weeks of my life.
Really?
Yes, it was. I mean, the static from my day job just kind of dissipated after day one or day two. All of the cliches about commuting with the land and just feeling at peace, I got all that as well.
Well, tell me about the business of farming, because some of the numbers are interesting here. There are a lot of small farms in the United States, even though we associate agriculture with huge, giant conglomerates.
Sure. Right. And the most of our food does come from those large conglomerates. But the majority of the 2.1 million farms in the U.S. are actually small scale, as defined by the amount of money they're taking in.
And what sorts of technological innovations have come into agriculture that people might be familiar with?
God, just about everything.
Really?
I mean, there are now GPS tractors. There's driverless tractors. I think one of the big things is big data. A lot of the big agricultural corporations that people know and love to hate or hate to love are putting a lot of money into basically plotting out your farm field so that you can know exactly where the best place to plant a parsnip would be, down to the fine molecules in the soil.
And the kind of farming that you investigated here, would that include, real, high volume commodities as well as maybe high end, produce for, say, restaurants, for instance?
In our magazine, we try to cover both of those kinds of farming. But for this particular story, I don't think it's as realistic, and I don't think it holds the same allure. This is more, produce, fruits and vegetables, maybe some livestock, small scale, selling at the farmer's market, CSAs, things like that.
Are there opportunities at big Iowa corn farms to ride the combine and be a part of the enterprise there?
For the most part, you're running it with just you and your family alone. Maybe during harvest and planting season, you're going to take on one or two farmhands. That said, I mean, there are some enormous farms out there. If you want to go work at a farm that's raising broiler chickens for Tyson or Purdue, I mean, there are jobs that you could probably find in pretty mainstream publication listings.
You definitely need some new boots.
You would need some new boots, yes. Get some good boots.
You have to have a skill in real estate to think about farming, right?
It's good to be a little bit savvy, and you're not going to find that the traditional routes, when you're looking for an apartment, Craigslist is going to give you no help. And there are some online resources like landandfarm.com, but those are more for very high-end boutique farms, very expensive. You're going to spend a lot of money to get a piece of property from there. Everyone I talked to kind of found their farm through word of mouth, through getting to know farmers in an area. First, you have to figure out where it is that you actually want to set up your farm, but then once you have that targeted, the best network is kind of just word of mouth, talking to farmers in the area.
And how many acres are we talking here?
I would say, under 10 acres.
Under 10 acres. Yeah. And then you have to be good at financing because you really have to know your banking and your interest rates and that sort of thing.
It absolutely helps. I mean, you're going to spend a lot of time balancing that ledger, figuring out how much when I spent that week on the farm, I saw these kind of considerations. Well, we're going to bring 160 dozen eggs this particular farm, but are they going to pay us in advance because we're going to need that if we're going to buy the pig feed that we need on Thursday, things like that.
What about animals, biology, that sort of thing?
Is it good to have an ology? Oh, absolutely. If you have the time and the inclination, you can go and take an ag program at a university like Cornell. But also, I strongly suggest going and just being an apprentice or an intern on a farm for up to 3 or 4 years on various farms. And you're going to get that kind of in-the-dirt knowledge just from doing.
And what places in the country would this be a growing occupation?
There's a list in the story of cities that have not been oversaturated by new young farmers. For instance, in Madison, Wisconsin, it's 5 years to get a booth at the farmer's market. So that's probably not a good place to buy farmland near. But places like Lawrence, Kansas, or Grand Junction, Colorado, Moscow, Idaho, all have a bit of a shortage of farmers, and the land might be a little cheaper around there. So I encourage you to look into that.
How do you pay your bills if you're a farmer? I mean, you're not necessarily getting a lot of cash right off the bat, and profits are elusive.
One method you can do is to start up a CSA, Community Supported Agriculture Program, before the farm actually starts and get people signed up. And the thinking behind that is that your customers pay you a lump sum at the beginning of the season, and then they take in whatever you grow. And that they kind of have to take the good with the bad. The farm that I worked on had a year where 60% of their produce died because of some issues. And so if you were one of their CSA customers, you were not getting a bumper crop, and they actually lost half of their customers that year. So, but that is a good way to start off because you get cash in hand to begin with. There's also various agricultural loans and grant programs and things that you can look into to have that scratch money when you first get started.
Jesse Hirsch is senior editor at the magazine Modern Farmer, giving us a sense at our job fair of the possibilities in small-scale agriculture. Jesse, thanks so much.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.